The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Again, we're going to continue in the series that we're giving on Parashas Bereishis. This would be the fourth in the series. Last week we spoke about about Chava being enticed by the Nochash, the serpent, to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This evening let's see if we can find out, it's a very difficult subject, of what was the Eitz Hadas Tevara? What does it mean, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life? The Torah tells us in Bereishis Beis, Posuk Ches, that right after it tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, This is a summary after the 7 days of creation, but then it goes back to tell us that Hashem created man dust from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, and a man was a nefesh chaya. Vayita Hashem alakim gan be'eden mikedem. Kodesh Baruch Hu planted a garden in Eden to the east. Vayosim shom es ha'odem asher yotzor. And there he placed man, who he created. Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama, kol eitz nechmad lemara v'tev lemachol. And Hashem planted from the earth all wonderful, beautiful trees, beautiful to look at and good to eat. Ve'eitz ha'chayim b'seich ha'gan, and the tree of life in the middle of the gan. Rashi says be'emsa, in the very center, ve'etz hadas tevara, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This also was near the middle, because later on the Torah tells us it was also be'seich ha'gan, in the middle, but it wasn't quite center. It was off center a bit. And then in Posuk Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, the Torah tells us, Ve'etzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lemor, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded man, saying, Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochol Techel, from every tree of the garden you shall eat from. When we learned this a few weeks ago, we quoted a Medrash where Hashem took man through the garden and showed him all of the beautiful trees, and he said, look, all of these beautiful, wonderful trees, Leinibra Ela Bishvilcha, I have created them only for you, so take pleasure from them. There's another source which I once saw many years ago. I saw it brought, I think it was in one of the Shulchan Aruchs, but when I looked for it, I couldn't find it. But just recently, when the chief rabbi, Sfadi, Sfarish, the chief rabbi of Israel, was here, and he gave me his forim, I saw that he quotes that source, that he quotes it from the Yishalmi. And there it states that when a person sees a beautiful fruit in this world and he doesn't partake from it, Osid Lite Nesadin, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to ask him in the next world, what was the matter with my world? Why didn't you take from it? It's like a king that offers someone something beautiful to eat and the person gives it back, he rejects it. So that's what is said here. Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochol Techel, you shall surely eat and take pleasure from all of the trees of the garden. Umeitz hadas tevaro, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, leisechal mimenu, you shall not eat. Kibiyem achol chumimena meis tomus, on the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. So here we see that both there was a command not to eat, and secondly, a punishment that on the day that you will eat, you will surely die. This needs a little explanation because they ate from it and they didn't die that day. So on that, Chazal, the sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day is 1,000 years to us. And that's why Adam would have died after 1,000 years. As it is, he lived only 930 years because the 70 years was given to Dovid HaMelech, to King David, but that's another story. But what it means is that on the day you eat, you shall die, you will not live longer than 1,000 years. Then the Torah tells us that the Nochus came, the serpent came, and again, the serpent, this is the story of the serpent, and the woman told the serpent exactly that they were not allowed to eat or to touch the tree. This we spoke about last week. And then the Torah tells us this is in Posuchov Beis Perek Dalet. No, excuse me, Perek Gibel Posuchov Beis. Vayim Hashem Elokim Hein Odom Hoya Ka'achad Mimenu Lodas Tevara. Hashem said that man is like one of us. He now knows Tevara, good and evil. Va'ator Pen Yishlach Yodei V'lokach Gam Eitzachayim V'ochal V'chay Le'olam. And now we can't let him eat from the Eitz HaChayim, because if he eats from there, he will live forever. Vayishalchehu Hashem Elokim Migan Eden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chased him out of Gan Eden. La'aved es ha'adam asher lukach mishom, to work in the earth which he was taken from. Vayigoresh es ha'adam vayashkein mikerem leGan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chased out of the garden, and he dwelled east of Gan Eden. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed Kruvim, he placed angels and a sword of fire which would turn around to guard the way to the Eitz HaChaim, to the tree of life, in order that man should not partake from it. So these are the psukim that the Torah tells us about the Eitz HaDas Tevara and about the Eitz HaChaim. Now this whole subject needs a lot of clarification, because actually, well, we should mention one other posuk, and that was when they ate. That's posuk Zion in Perek Gimel. When they ate from it, when she ate, vati pokachna eini shnehem. When she ate and he ate, so their eyes became opened. Yedu ki erumim heim, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed together the leaves of a date, the leaves of a fig, excuse me, and they made garments from that. And the Rashi brings the Medrash. He says, what does it mean that their eyes became open? Were they blind before? He says, Linyan Chochba Dibara Kosuv. Now they could see before also, but it means in regards to chokhmah, to wisdom. Now they had another dimension of wisdom in which they realized that they were naked, and then they sewed garments for themselves. Now, as we said, all of this needs a lot of clarification. Firstly, what does it mean, a tree of knowledge of good and evil? And what does it mean, a tree of life? Secondly, why did the eating of this tree bring death? And why did the eating, if they would have eaten from the tree of life, it would have brought Chaim Le'olam, life forever? What's the matter with a tree that's das, that's knowledge, that has wisdom? Wisdom is the greatest attribute. So how can there be something wrong with that? Further questions. Generally, we like to think that in Gan Eden there was no Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, the ability to sin, the evil, that came after they ate from the tree and after they were driven out of Gan Eden. But that can't be, because if that's the case, so how did they eat from the tree in the first place if there was no power of evil? We see there was a power of evil, and we see there was a power of evil even in Gan Eden, because there they were tempted and enticed to transgress HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments and to eat from the tree. And we know that the Yetzer Hara and the ability to do evil was created before they were in Gan Eden, because it states that after the 7 days of creation, Vayara Hashem es kol asher osa v'hinei tov me'od, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that everything he made, and it was very good. And the Medrash Rabbah says tov, say yetzer tov. Tov refers to the power of good. Ra'a tov me'od, very good, that refers to the yetzer hara, the power of evil. And this was at the beginning of the creation. And further, the greatness of man and the uniqueness of man, that he was given the power of Bechira, the power of free choice, to do good or evil. If there was no ability to do evil, so then he would be a Baal Bechira, he wouldn't be a person of free choice. So there was the power to do evil even in Gan Eden. And that was even before he ate from the tree. So we cannot say that the power of evil came from eating of the tree. And the same thing, we see the role of the serpent. Now, my intention this evening is not to clarify this entire subject totally, because that's something which is very, very difficult. But perhaps we could get a few insights into what was going on here. The basics that we have to deal with is firstly what Reb Chaim Mivolozhin writes. He writes this, I believe, in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. And he says, for sure there was evil, the power of evil was created in the first 7 days of creation, and it was in Gan Eden also, as we see. And man was a Baal Bechira. Man had the freedom of choice to do good or to do evil. This was before he ate from the tree. This is why he chose to eat from the tree. But there was a difference. There were clear, defined boundaries between good and evil. Good was very clear and evil was very clear, and they were far from each other. And man had his own position in the world, and he could choose to do good, he could choose to do evil. He could do kulatev, something which is totally good, or he could choose to bring himself closer to the evil. And this, he had a free will. And this was his power. Unfortunately, tragically, the serpent, who represented, was an advocate or a representative of this power of evil, enticed man to come close to evil. But when man came close to evil, he came too close. And this is what is meant when he ate from it. And when he ate from the tree, the evil went into him. Just like when a person eats something, it goes into him. And when that evil went into him, it became impossible now for man to separate himself from it. And this is what is meant, and it's brought from the Sforim, I believe it's brought from the Zohar HaKodesh. Hitl anochosh zuhama v'sei chava. That the serpent, when he enticed Chava to eat from the tree, his poison, his impurities, went into Chava, into her, to the point where she no longer could separate herself from it. Once this happened, they could no longer stay in Gan Eden at the level of the Garden of Eden, because the level of Garden of Eden was where someone could do kulatev, someone could be totally pure and totally good. This was no longer possible for man. He brings the posuk that Shlema Melech wrote in Keheles, Perek Zayin, posuk Chof. There is no righteous person on the earth that will do good and not evil. Now generally we mean that even the most righteous, who are always doing good, sometimes they slip up and they do evil also. He says, no, it's telling us something else. There is no righteous man in the world that will do good, and in every good there will not be evil. And actually the word yechta, he writes, comes out very well here, because the sages tell us the word yechta does not mean necessarily to sin, but it means to lack. This is many psukim on. So there's no man on the earth anymore that can do good and it doesn't lack in some area. This was after the chait. In every good, in every goodness, it cannot be in totality. There's always going to be something lacking in it. Or let's say a person does a mitzvah where it's lishma, it's totally l'shem shemaim, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there would be something lacking. It won't be 100%. There could be a few percent where he has ulterior motives or intentions, where he can gain or do something for himself also in it. And this is even the greatest tzaddik. And this is the level that the world slipped into after they ate from the tree. Because when they ate, the tree that was the tree of evil went into them. He tells Zuhama to say chava, just as you eat something. And it became inseparable from them. And no longer could they do kulatev, something which is totally pure. And therefore they could not stay in Gan Eden anymore, because Gan Eden was a place where man could be totally pure. And therefore they were chased out. Now, and it became a taruvis. The world became a taruvis, a mixture of good and evil together. And this makes it even more difficult then to choose good, because in every good there's some evil also. So this is the basic interpretation. This is written by many, and in particular Rav Chaim Volozhin. The Maral, Zichrei Nevrocha, he adds to it. He writes on this in Masechet, in a number of places. One place is in Masechet Ovis, Perek Dalet, on the Mishnah, which we quoted last year, Akina v'atai v'akovet. Jealousy, desire, and quest for glory drives a person out of the world. And also he writes on it in his preface to a Sefer HaChodesh, which deals with Purim. We still have a kasha, we still have a question. We said that the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, well, we can understand why it's called Tevara now, because it was good and evil, it was a mixture. till now, there was good and there was evil, and they were totally separate. When they ate from this tree, it came together. So that's why it was called the tree of good and evil. But what does it mean, Eitz HaDaas, the knowledge of good and evil? We still haven't answered what kind of knowledge or wisdom are we speaking about. We could answer that because the word Das, and we just spoke about this, I believe, last Shabbos, or two Shabboses ago. The word Das doesn't only mean knowledge. The word Das means kiruv, dobak, to attach yourself to something. We won't go into this at length. We've done it in the past, just recently. But one example is brought, Rashi explains, in Parshas Vayera, which we just learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on Avraham Avinu, Ki Yodativ Lemana Sheyitzav Hizbonav Beisei Achrov. Yodativ, I have known him, because he will command his children and his household after me. Now there, what does it mean, I have known him? So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean I have known him, I have brought him close to me. Why have I taken Avraham close to me more than anyone else in the world? Because he will command his household after me. So there we see that the word Das means attachment. So that's way we can understand. It was the Eitz HaDaas Tevara. It was the tree which would attach good and evil together. And if you come close to it, you will also be attached to good and evil together. But however, the simple meaning is that it was a tree of knowledge. And this is the implication from many chazals, many sages, opinions of the sages in the Midrashim. And we see the Torah itself called it that Nechbad Ha'etz Lahaskil, that when Chava looked at the tree, she saw many, many attributes in the tree. We spoke about this last week. But she also saw Nechmad Ha'etz Lahaskil, and Rashi brings, it was a tree which she could see had wisdom in it and would give one wisdom. So if this tree is giving one wisdom, what can be wrong with it? Wisdom, what can be more praiseworthy than wisdom? So that, the Maral says, is not so. Wisdom is not necessarily praiseworthy. Shlema HaMelech wrote in Keheles, Perek Zayin, Posuk Yutes, Perek Zayin, Posuk Tes Zayin. Al tihi tzadik harbe, a person must be careful that he must not be too righteous. Al tishakam yoser, or nor should he be too wise. Tishakam yoser, shlem ha-melech. Echocha mikol odom, the wisest of all men, who asked for wisdom and held there could be nothing more precious than wisdom, he learned from this. And he warned us. He said, don't be too wise. Lama tishemeim. The word tishemeim comes from the word shemama, which means desolate and destruction, destroyed. Why shall you destroy yourself? Here we see that wisdom can destroy one. Al tirsha harbe, and then he carries on. Do not become too evil. Val tisochel, do not become too foolish. Lama samus b'le'itecho, why should you die before your time? So here Shlema HaMelech is telling us to be a tzaddik, to be righteous is wonderful, but be careful, don't be too righteous. To be wise is wonderful, but be careful, don't be too wise, because it will destroy you and it will bring you to evil, and you will die before your time. That's what happened when they ate from the tree. They died before their time. Now notice he says, he doesn't say al tishakim, that you should not be wise. He said al tishakim yoser, do not be too wise. So he's not talking about wisdom, he's talking about what is known as Chochma Yisera. Chochma Yisera is an extra dimension of wisdom. That is something that we have to worry about. Now why? Seems the more wisdom the better. The truth of the matter is too much wisdom, an extra dimension of wisdom, is an antithesis, is contrary to the Torah. Because the Torah is called Tomim, Torah Hashem Tomima, Meshivas Nofesh. It's also called Yoshor, Pikudi Hashem Yoshorim, Misam Chelev. Tomimus means blind faith, blind trust. Blind trust and blind faith is totally the antithesis of wisdom. Wisdom is where you challenge everything. Prove it to me. I'll accept it if I understand it. Trust and faith is where you subject yourself to someone else's will, even blindly. The philosophers would never accept the Torah because they say, we don't understand the Torah, why should we accept it? We don't understand the mitzvahs, why should we accept it? If you'll prove to me how the mitzvahs are good and the logic of the mitzvahs, all right, then we will accept it. Prove to me what's wrong with eating chazir, prove to me what's wrong with wearing shatnez, prove to me this and then I'll do it. The Torah demanded nase v'nishma. When Klal Yisrael went on Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu took the Torah to all of the nations, and they all asked exactly this: Maksiv Boch, what's written in it? Explain it to us, and if we understand it and it's good, we will accept it. If not, we reject it. This was Chochma Yisera. When we came to Klal Yisrael, to Yisrael, they didn't ask what was written in it. They said, Nase v'nishma, you want to give it to us? We go with you all the way. We trust you. We subject ourselves totally to your will. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. They didn't say prove it, like the philosophers of the world did. Lo yeh lecha elohim acherim, you shall not make gods of others any other gods. They didn't say prove it. Prove to us you are the greatest God. Accept it. You're the king, and the king, we have to listen to your mitzvahs. We will accept all your mitzvahs. We will use our wisdom to labor in your Torah, to labor in your mitzvahs, to understand them to the best of our ability. But that has nothing to do with our acceptance of the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs we accept regardless. Because tomim tiem Hashem alakecho, because we are tomim, we have perfect faith in whatever you give us. And this is what Yoshur means. We go straight. We don't go crooked. We don't go under or over. We go straight. You tell us and we listen. Wisdom, yes. Torah is the source of all wisdoms. But there are certain wisdoms which are beyond man. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person tries to crawl into those wisdoms, then he's asking for Chochma Yisera, an extra dimension of wisdom. And that Shlema HaMelech warned. He says, there's no one that knows wisdom like me. I'm the Chochem Mikol Odom. I was the wisest of all men. And I tell you, Al Tietzadik Harbe, the same thing, Yoshur. Don't try to be too righteous. Kodesh Baruch Hu told you to be righteous, straight. You be straight, but not too much. Al Tishakem Harbe. Don't try for too much wisdom. Loma Tishemeim, because it will destroy you. And Loma Tomus Amus Bele'itecho, why should you die before your time? In this week's Parsha, Parsha's told us, we learn about Yaakov and Esav. So the Torah gives us a description of each of them. So the description, what it gives of Esav, this is in Bereshis Chof Hei Posuk Chof Zayin VaYigdal Anorim VaYu Esav. The children grew up, and Esav was an ish yedei tzayid. Esav knew how to hunt. Esoder. What does it mean? He knew how to hunt. So Rashi brings the Medrash. Lotzud ulramay says Ovi befiv. He knew deception, how to deceive. He would deceive his father by telling his father, Shoalo Abba Heach Masvin Asamelach Vesatevan. He would ask his father, the halach is that you have to take the grains and you give 10% to the Levi. He would ask his father all kind of difficult shailas. What do you do with salt? Do you have to give 10% of that also to the Levi? What do you do with hay or straw? Do you have to give also that 10% to the Levi? Sover aviv shumadaktek b'mitzvahs. When his father would hear such shailas, such questions, he would say, look at my son, look how carefully he is with mitzvahs. He even wants to know these things. But Esav used to do this on purpose to deceive his father, in order to get his father to think that he was so medaktek b'mitzvahs. He was so frum. In other words, he was a deceiver. And that's why it states, Bayav Yitzchok Esavsov. Why Yitzchok was deceived. And he loved Esav, Kitzayin b'fiv. The simple sense means is that what Esav would hunt, he would bring to the mouth of Yitzchok, his father. But the Medrash says that the Medrash tells us, Bifiv shel Esav, that Yitzchok would end up in the mouth of Esav, shel yotzod Esav, umeramehu bidvorov. He would be able to deceive his father with his mouth. So he would be in his mouth. This was Esav. So what was Esav? Esav was just the hepech. He was just the contrary to what is Yoshua, what is straight. He was just the contrary to what is Tam. Tam is someone that goes with perfect trust. What does it say on Yaakov? On Yaakov it says, Yaakov ish tom. Yaakov was a person of perfect trust. Yoshev Oholim dwelled in the tents of Shem Ve'Ever, in the tents of Torah. Rashi tells us, Ein boki b'chol eila. He was a tam, he had perfect trust, and he wasn't good at deceiving. Kilibe came piv, because what he had in his heart, this he would say. And what he would say would be in his heart. He wouldn't talk one way and think another way. Misha ein achorif l'ramais koritam. Someone who is not good at being crooked. He's not good as deceiving. To deceive. He's not fraudulent. He's not a con man. He's not a swindler. He's called a tam. Yoshev Olim, he dwelled in the tents of Shem and the tents of Aver, these were the tents of Torah. So Yaakov identified perfectly with the Torah, because he was straight. And that's what it states. It says, Torah Hashem Tamimo. The Torah is perfect, and perfect trust. Pekudei Hashem Yishorim, its mitzvahs are totally straight. Esav was just the contrary to the Torah. Tzai Befiv, he was a hunter. He would hunt people with his mouth. He would mislead them, he would deceive them. He would throw up a camouflage. He would project false images of what he was. And Yaakov would bequeath this to his children, and Esau would bequeath this to his children. as we'll see in a minute. Now we have another parsha like that also. In Parsha Shaftim, it states, this is in the parshas in Shoftim Yud Ches Pasuk Tes. This is the Devarim. Ki atov bo al ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha nesein loch. You will come to the land which Hashem is giving to you. Do not learn from the abominations of those nations that live there. What are the abominations? And it's listed all of the types of various idolatries, which are the idolatries of sorcery, of fortune tellings, of soothsayings, and so forth. Kesim kisomi ma'enin menachesh mechashev chayvechover shel avyedeni deli shel amesim. They could communicate with the dead. Whether this is true or not true, that's another discussion, but they would communicate to the dead and the dead would tell them what to do. They would tell your fortune, they would look at the stars, they would seek all types of omens, good omens and bad omens, and signs. They would say, tomorrow morning you want to go on this business trip, let's see if the first rooster will be on, that crows will be on the right or be on the left, the north or the south. If it's on the north, then you'll have good fortune. On the south, you won't have good fortune. Mechashev, sorceries. So, Kisa Avas Hashem, Kol Eisa Eila. Kodesh Baruch Hu hates all of these things. Ubiglale Tevas Eila Hashem Elokecha Meidish Eisam Miponecho. And this is the reason why I'm chasing all these nations. So, what does he tell Klal Yisrael? Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. You must be with me, close, perfect, and totally trusting. You don't have to go to all of these other things. You don't have to go to palm readers. You don't have to go to people who look at your fingernails. You don't have to go to people that have omens or signs. You don't have to wear bracelets or red threads. You don't have to go and look at the shadows or the moons or all of these things. But Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, place your trust in me. What does Rashi say on this? Rashi says as follows. Yisalech imay bitmimus. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with closeness and full trust. How does a child walk with his father? He has his trust in his father. Doesn't try to second guess his father. Has his trust in his father, and whatever his father will tell him, he knows that he'll be secure with that. V'tzatzap elei, place your trust in him. V'leisach kor achar asidus, don't worry about futures. Ela kol mash yovei alecha, whatever will come your way, kabel bitmimus, accept. V'oz tia imai ulechelkai, it states, tamim tia im. You want to be im Hashem. Im means with him. You want to be far away from him. All right, go to all of these other people. Go to all of these people to read your palms and your fingernails and everything else. And they'll tell you, but you won't be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you totally reject all of these things, you say, I'm not interested. I'm interested in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for me. And whatever he has in store for me, that's good for me. Then you will be im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you will be amoy, you will be his nation. Os tia imay ulechelkai. Then you will be his nation, and he will take care of you. If you go to these others, he'll say, all right, They'll take care of you. If you reject all of the others and you come with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, then you're mine. I have to take care of you. Now, there we see Tamimus again. And Tamimus is the contrary to Chochmah Yesera, to too much wisdom. Because the drive for too much wisdom is where I want to know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, what's going to happen to me the next day, and what's going to happen to me when I do this deal, or when I do that deal, or if I do this, and so forth and so on. And you say, trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, I want to know, Yediyah, Das. I want to know. There's a time when a person has to want to know, and there's a time when a person should say, that's it. Zehagvul, this is the boundary. Yediyah, Das does not go further. But place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your blind trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not a trust that if you'll do something good, fine. But if not, if Yisurin, heaven forbid, affliction comes on me, no, no. What was Avraham Avinu? Eser Nishenes. Kodesh Baruch Hu tested Avraham 10 times. He told him to go to Eretz Canaan, to uproot himself from his family, his birthplace. Comes to Eretz Canaan, there's a famine, and he has to leave the country. All of these tests, finally gives Avraham a son. Then he tells him, go and sacrifice him. Or he tells him to listen to Sarah and drive away your other son. So Avraham never said, if that's the case, finished. He said, whatever you bring to me, that's all right with me, I trust you. I have total trust in you. That's the Tamimus. Not, I have total trust in you. When things are good. But when things are not good, no. It's like the Gemara says, Chayev Odom Levorach, Kishem Shechayev Odom Levorach Alatev, Kachayev Levorach Alara. A person has to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether good comes upon him or whether evil comes upon him. Tom Nimti Mashem Elokecho. Now, the Eitz HaChaim B'Sei Chagom, this was the tree of life. The Medrash Tana Rabbi Eliyahu says this was the Eitz HaTorah, this was the Torah, and it was B'Sei Chagom, in the middle. And this represents something which is perfect, perfectly balanced, not to the right and not to the left, and not extreme at all, but perfectly balanced. And had they eaten from that, now eaten again means had they attached themselves to that, to the utmost, then it would be Chayla Elam, they would live forever. Because then they would be attaching themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would be attaching themselves to something that's Kula Tev, entirely good, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely good. And he's the source of all life. There wouldn't have been death. That's what is stated, V'atem hadvekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. That those that cleaved to me are alive. It's also very interesting that the Chazal tell us that Yaakov, who was the epitome of this, Yaakov Ishtam, and he was the perfection of the Ovis, of the patriarchs, and he was the person of Torah. Yeshiva Olim, he dwelled in the tents of Torah. The Chazal says it doesn't say by Yaakov that he ever died. It doesn't write in the Torah that he died. Might write he was buried, but it doesn't write he died. So the Chazal say Yaakov Avinu Lemes. Yaakov didn't die. Now, whatever that means, it's difficult. But that means that he was not attached to the tree that gave death. He was attached to the Eitz HaChaim that gave life, and that was his tamimus. When the Nochash, the serpent, came and tried to entice, and successfully enticed the Chava, the woman and man, to eat from the Eitz HaDas. And this was a tree. It was a tree of knowledge. It would give man greater dimensions of wisdom. But it was a wisdom beyond what we should have. Now, this was a wisdom which was not Yosha, which was not straight. It was not where we, like we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you tell us what to do and we will do it. And we'll try with our best to understand it, but we will do. But this is a wisdom which already comes with all types of shrewdness, cynicism, challenges, and things like that. That type of wisdom is referred to as Ormo. And it states on the serpent, Vahanocha Shoyo Orum Mikol Chayas Hasoda. The serpent was Orum. That Orum means wise, but that's a wisdom which is a shrewdness. It's not a wisdom which goes straight. And this is what the tree had. And he, the serpent, had a great relationship with this tree. And therefore he was enticing man, who, man and woman were the whole world then. And he was moving the whole world towards this tree. And when it came too close to this tree, the whole world received the poison, a poison of this Ormo, where a person could not anymore be totally trusting in his heart, but always suspicious, always cynical, always challenging. And that's how the world became. You can't live that way in Gan Eden. And therefore man was chased out of Gan Eden. And when he did this, he created a wedge between man, which was the world, and between the Torah, because the Torah is the antithesis to this. The Torah is Tomim, Yoshua, and between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He distanced man from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now when you become distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's like moving away from the warmth, the heat of the fire. You're moving away from the source of life. And therefore, b'yemacholchei meis tamus. Once you eat from this tree and you bring this poison into yourselves and into the world, then there can't be a total life anymore. It's going to be life, a limited life. And on the day you do this, either a day or 1,000 years, you will die. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. And the sages were saying that Shlomo HaMelech, he was referring to the tree, but he was referring also to some history. And he said, Al tiyat tzadik harbe, go straight. Don't try to go to be more than straight. Kodesh Baruch Hu told you to do this, you'll do a little more. Now, and don't be too clever. Don't be too challenging. Don't be too suspicious. Because you will bring destruction to yourselves and to the world. You will become a rosho. This will bring evil and you will die before your time is up. You should have lived forever. And what is this referring to? In particular by Shlomo HaMelech, the Chazal bring, is referring to Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent King Saul through Shmuel HaNavi to go and conquer Amalek and to kill everyone from Amalek. And we'll see in particular what Amalek has to do with this in a minute. And King Saul said, no, it can't be. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not right to command to annihilate an entire nation. And he made even a kal v'chaimer. He said, would you kill one person? The Zakenim, the Bezdin, has to bring an egla arufa. They have to bring the whole process. They take a calf, and they break its neck, and they say that we are not responsible. Here, an entire nation. And if the men, so why the women? And if the women, why the children? And why the animals? So he didn't keep the command. He was becoming more of a tzaddik than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was becoming more of a Rachman, more compassion than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you have more compassion than I have. And so therefore Shlomo HaMelech said, Al tiyeh tzaddik harbe. He had a greater vision of right and wrong than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Al tishachem harbe. You're becoming too wise. This will be your downfall. This will destroy you. And because he didn't listen to that command, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the kingship away from him. And this created the whole problem with him and Dovid HaMelech. Because he wanted the kingship to go to his son Yonasan, and was taken away. And from here came the wrath that when he went into the city of Nob, Yira Kahanim, the city of Nob, Achimelech, and he went there, and he found out that they had helped Dovid HaMelech, they gave him some food. He went and he killed every member of the city. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, where's your compassion now? I told you to annihilate the guilty, and you're annihilating the innocent. The men and the women, the children, where's this compassion? Where is this wisdom? And that's where Shlomo HaMelech learned, Al tiyeh tzaddik harbe ve'al tishachem yesem midai. Lama somus b'le'itecho, Rashi says, Shaul died earlier than he should have because of this. Now, this midah of not being able to go straight, this orma, this crookedness. Actually, orma also means, the Torah uses it, where someone killed someone else, be orma, that he lied in wait for him, waited for him, see? Like he ambushed him. Now this orma, we say the serpent seemed to have a special kesher, a special association and relationship with the tree. Oru mikol achayos, he was more shrewd than all of the animals. A siman adover, the Maral brings a sign, is a serpent never goes straight. Whenever he crawls like an S. And that's totally the opposite of something that's straight. This went into his nature. Now we mentioned Esav. Esav was the contrary, the antithesis to Yaakov. Yaakov was the Ishtam, the one of Torah, and Esav was the opposite. Esav's grandson was Amalek. And Amalek was a nation that was totally engrossed in death. We see the source of death was from this tree. Because Amalek came and they wanted to kill Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on Amalek total clear, total annihilation. This is what he commanded Shaul, Timch Ezdeich Amalek. Total eradication. But we see even further. The greatest representative of Amalek was Haman. Haman was the one who was like the Malach HaMavis himself. He decreed Lahashmid, Laharig, Lahabed, Eskola Yehudim, to totally annihilate all of Israel, all of the Jews. This was like the Malach HaMavis, but for the whole world, because he wanted to annihilate the entire nation of Israel. And had he been successful, the world would have died, because Imein Yisrael ain't Torah. There's no Yisrael, there's no Torah. Imein Torah, if there's no Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns the world to Tehi Vavaihu, to nothingness. So this was the power of Amalek. Amalek, what he was doing, he was continuing to bring this power from the eating of this tree, which would bring death. He was continuing to bring it into the world, just like his grandfather Amalek, his ancestor, and just like Esau. It's very interesting, because the Gemara brings in Masech Tehulim, it says, where, if someone like Haman, even though he lived after Moshe, after the writing of the Torah, but he was such a historical figure, infamous, but such an historical figure, there should be some remes, some subtle point in the Torah that prophesizes him in Torah's Mesha. So the Gemara says, yes, his name is written Hamin Ha'etz. His name is written right next to this tree. When the serpent came and said to Chava, from this tree did Hashem say you shouldn't eat? And Hamin spells out Haman, He Mem Nun, Haman. So we see, where is the prophecy that there would be a Haman? Right by the eating of the tree. That was the manifestation of it. The ones who were able to conquer Haman were Mordechai and Esther. And the Gemara tells us that Mordechai, his name is also prophesied in the Torah, even though he lived after the Torah. And where? Moridoror, by the Moradoror, by the Ktores, by the burning incense. The burning incense, these are the Ktores. This the Torah refers to as the Samachayim. That what brings life. The fact is, that was against the Malach HaMavis. The Medrash tells us that when there was both by the Egel Azor, by the Golden Calf, and by Kerach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a plague to kill people, so the Malachim, the angels, gave a secret to Aaron that the Ketores would stop the Malach HaMavis. And the Malach HaMavis is coming from this tree. And this was Mordechai and Esther. And what was their power? Their power was the power of Tefillah B'tochen. Even in the darkest of all moments, they had a total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were mispalel, they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest manifestation of trust is tefillah, because what do? You speak to Hashem and you ask Him. But why are you asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because you're placing your trust in Him. So they were the Tamimim, and that's why they were able to bring the Chaim, the life, back into the world against Haman, who had the power of the Malach HaMavis. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechta Bava Basra, at the end of the first perek, Zu HaSotan, Zu HaYetzohara, Zu HaMalach HaMavis. They're all related. The Sotan, the Yetzohara,
and the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, are all intertwined. And this was the serpent, his power of evil brought the power of death. It was the Sotam together with the tree, and this brought death into the world. One final point. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Verizor in the first parak, Dafei. Tanya Omer B'Yesi. B'Yesi Eimer. Lekiblu Yisrael es HaTorah Elekedesh Leyeh Malach HaMoves Shailet Bohem. Yisrael received the Torah, which would give them the power to become free of the Malach HaMoves. Klal Yisrael went up and they received the Torah, the first tablets. They freed themselves from the angel of death. Now, how can this be? Because at that time they came to such a level of eating from the Eitz HaChaim, eating from the tree of life, and they freed themselves from the bond of the Eitz HaDas Tevara, and therefore they freed themselves from the Malach HaMoves. Ask Rabbi Yossi, how do you know this? He says, that's what is written, Ani Omarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. When Klal Yisrael took the first tablets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said you were gods and you were B'nai Elyon, you lived in a higher world. He was referring that just like gods don't die, you will not die, and you're living in a higher world. That means they return to the level of Gan Eden. But Chavaltem Maaseichem, but they spoiled it. They went and they built themselves a golden calf, which again drove them out of Gan Eden. And that's what the rest of the Pasuk states, Ochein ke'odem temusim, u'kechad asorim tipolu. I had thought that you were B'nai Elyon. I had thought that you were like Elohim, that you were like God, you were people of a higher world, and you will not die anymore. But, tragically, ke'odem temusim, you will die like man, and like one of the sorim, like one of the royalty, you will fall. This was because once when they were cheter by the golden calf, the Malach HaMoves returned. So we have to wait. Evidently we didn't come back to that level by the second luchais, by the second tablets. So this is some insights into what was the Eitz HaChaim B'Seicha Gan, the tree of life in the middle of the garden. What was the Eitz HaDas Tevara, the tree of wisdom of good and evil, which was a bit to the side. What was the serpent, and why when they ate from that they were driven out of Gan Eden, and ultimately they brought the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, into the world. The whole world was driven out of Gan Eden, and ultimately they were brought, that B'yom HaChochel Tamuz, and that day they would eat, they would die. Yitz Hashem, we have to wait until we return to the level of Gan Eden.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.